Hi everyone, welcome to today's Bible message entitled Built to Last, and that will appear over this shoulder, as will some words, other words during the talk, highlighting some key themes. Welcome to also the recording studio, again back in the vicarage here. I think this is the sixth or seventh quiet place I've found over these lockdown weeks. Lockdown is beginning to be released and starting to get back doing some normal things, haircuts. Hair by Claire. Thank you, Claire. Great job. There we go. But it seems to be more challenging as we come out of lockdown than in lockdown. And so that's why I think these Bible messages over these past weeks, and particularly the one today, is so key for us. And I'm going to begin with a question this morning, which is the one we ask often at SDC. How is your life today on a scale of 0 to 10, where 10 is great, Mick, and zero is it's not so good today. We very much live in a roller coaster existence at the moment, don't we? Some days are good, some days are not so good. In fact, I was just hearing today that around 649,000 jobs have been lost in these past weeks. And the forecast is not brilliant as we go forward into the autumn when the furlough scheme comes to an end. That's why it's important we pray for each other, for our friends, and for our nation. A good friend of mine, Andy Hawthorne from the Message Trust, often described life as a seven-day week, and then asked the question, what day of the week are you in? I suppose for Trish and myself, as we pass on leadership, Tom and Clarissa, and go into retirement, whatever that means. For us, we're probably, if Monday's the beginning of the working week, we're probably early Saturday evening, just get ready to watch a movie before we move into Sunday, our time of Sabbath. And also the phrase you often hear, you know, where has the week gone? It's just flown by, hasn't it? All these phrases, common phrases, help us understand how finite life is. And seriously, over these past weeks, as we've seen so many tragedies and deaths, it's made us all look again at how finite life is. And that means we don't moan or complain. We don't groan and grumble. We take hold of each day and live it to the full. Do you remember? Thank you, Lord, for this day, fresh off the shelf of heaven, never been used before. And you've given us this day as a gift. Thank you, Lord. Now, we know that Jesus came to show us how to live this life, this his better life. He came to do lots of things and primarily to die on a cross to open the gates of heaven so that we may know our Father in heaven and how much he loves us. Jesus also came to answer two fundamental questions of the human condition. And again, you've heard these before. Who am I and what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Who am I? My identity. What am I doing? My purpose. And in Christ, we know as Christians that our identity in him is a child of God, loved by my Father in heaven. And my purpose is to live a life of significance that brings his blessings and his love, not just to me and my family, but to others. That's completely different to the world, which talks about success. Success is different from significance. So that's what Jesus came to do. And these scriptures over these past weeks have come from what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, on probably one autumn day, probably was on a hillside in Israel, and he preached his great sermon, his Sermon on the Mount. And he talked about this better life, this beautiful life. And this mini sermon series being entitled Beautiful Life deliberately because this life of Jesus is so beautiful. It's more than better, it's beautiful. And it's so attractive as he is attractive. And this is what drew me to Jesus and this new life. He was so beautiful. And what he offered was as well. And at the end of this sermon, he now brings it into land. If he was in a pulpit, he'd look up and say, and now finally. Now, we know that when a preacher says that, we've got at least another 10 minutes of the sermon. Not mentioning anybody in particular here. But Jesus brings it directly into land with the scriptures we're going to hear now. He talks about two builders and two ways of building a house. And the analogy is two ways of building your life. And this will appear on the screen now. This is Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible on the screen right now. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying, quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What an amazing sermon indeed. So pull a few things out of this scripture and then look how it applies to us today. Jesus here talks about a smart carpenter or a wise builder, some translations say. And the word here, the Greek word, this was written in the Greek language, as was the New Testament. Well, we get the English word diaphragm from it. Remember the muscle here, which controls our breathing and actually therefore shapes how we live every day. If this is healthy, our day is healthy and our breathing and our life is healthy. So Jesus is saying quite simply, if you listen to me, what I'm saying to you, and let these my words affect you, your spiritual life will be healthy. And therefore it will affect the whole of your life. It's as if you're spiritually breathing in and out in a right way. If you do that, he said, it's as if you're building your house, your life, on solid foundations, on rock. Here's the visual aid for today. Always try to use one in these online videos. It's a rock. I could have said that this comes from the banks of the Jordan in the Holy Land. It actually doesn't. It comes from the back garden of the vicarage. Still a rock. Jesus said, build your life on this solid foundation. Very clear, isn't it? But he also talks about the person who doesn't do that and refers to them as a stupid carpenter. That's what it said. What does that mean? Well, some translations say foolish builder. And again, the particular Greek word there, we get the English word moron. Pretty straight, self-explanatory, isn't it? Somebody who is dull, who has unreal expectations. And in Sheffield language, is just plain daft. Jesus said, if you don't listen to me and put these words in your life and mine, you're just daft. And it's like as if you're building your house, your life, on shifting sand, which when the storms of life come, it'll just fall apart. Now, I was going to get a second visual aid, which was sand, and dramatically pour it across the screen, the camera here. But I realized if I did that, looked at the camera, it would go on me, it would go on the carpet, and it would go on the sofa. And that would not have gone down well with Tricia. So that was cancelled. But you can imagine the picture, can't you, coming down. Two ways to build your house, your life, on the solid rock and on the shifting sand. We then go on to read that the people were absolutely amazed. And the word here means astounded, astonished. I wonder if you've ever heard a sermon which left you astounded or astonished. Well, I have, particularly in the early days of exploring Christianity and becoming a Christian. It's as if the preached word was affecting me so powerfully. And it's something about, little aside here, about preaching. Preaching the word of God is so vital and so important. And its main emphasis is to lift us up and to build us up and to encourage us and inspire us. I've said this over the years to the young and aspiring preachers here at STC. You see, it's easy to be negative when you speak on a platform in spiritual things, to talk about our sin and our guilt and our failure. And I've heard many talks like that. They're just not very good. Of course, it's right to be challenged about our lifestyle and the way we do things. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is to build us up. And if you keep hearing sermons which leave you feeling down or in a place of failure, then you need to go and listen to some more sermons. You need to perhaps go to another church. Now, that doesn't happen here at STC. Our aim here has always been to build our church family up. Jesus, when he spoke, challenged, but he was a glass half full. No, he was a glass bubbling over with the beautiful life that he came to offer. And these people were so amazed that we read in the scripture, they burst into applause. Wow. Now, I think we need more of that. We need more STC. And so Joyce and Benson and Roland Eunice and all the Furvale crowd and a lot, never start a list, and lots of other people, you know who you are. Get more applauding in church when you hear the preached word of God. We need more amens and we need more hallelujahs and we need some more applause. Let's break through our Englishness. Let's break through and let's start to respond in the way we should to the word of God when it is preached in our midst. Why did they respond this way? Well, quite simply, that they saw in Jesus, in this rabbi, a man who taught with authority that they'd not seen before. And again, this word authority here is authority that comes from on high, a spiritual and a moral authority. And you know, as I reflected on this passage, I've heard this passage many times and spoken on it, but I think we live in days today where we need to see this spiritual and moral authority. Remember, Jesus spoke to the political leaders of his day and the spiritual leaders, the church leaders, the religious leaders. And he challenged them. And in our nation today, we need a new moral authority. And I, for one, am delighted that our government has challenged this techno giant, Huawei, just doing the 5G stuff, and actually challenge this sense of, I need my, you know, my Netflix movie downloaded 2 minutes quicker than it would with 4G. Because we need to challenge any, not just an organization, but nations like China and others who have a total disregard for human rights and seem to think they can get away with anything that is not ethically right and not moral. So I'm delighted in that. I think we need to take a stand against these things and in our own lives as well. But also in our nation, we need a new morality so that our generations to come know there's a framework, a right framework to live by. But also in the church, as Jesus challenged the religious leaders of his time, we need a new morality, a spiritual morality in the church, and a clarity of leadership. And all this boils down to leadership. Now, I've often said in the church, if you wear the shirt, then you've got to do the job and you've got to give clear leadership. Now, much smarter people than me are working out tough questions on human sexuality and all kinds of other stuff. I'm talking here about a clarity, a spiritual clarity on the gospel. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Jesus was born, the incarnation was a virgin birth, true. That he did miracles and raised Lazarus from the dead, and amazing miracles, true. That he died on a cross, but he came back to life physically after 3 days, true. That he ascended into heaven, and there's a man seated at the right hand of the Father right now, true. That the Holy Spirit came and filled these people at Pentecost, true. The same Holy Spirit is in our life and we can do the miraculous things that Jesus and the early church did, true. That there is eternal life and after this life I will go to be with Jesus and with those who love Jesus forever, true. Clear spiritual authority, and the church has not done that. And a liberal spirit has come in where we've raised up comfortable cultural Christians and not really courageous biblical disciples. And when we do the latter, that's very attractive. When we do the former, it isn't. And leadership needs challenging in the church. Because of the lack of leadership, millions of young people have drifted away from the church because it's irrelevant, and therefore drifted away from the message of love and acceptance of their friend and saviour, Jesus. We need that today. So what does that mean for us now? Well, I want to say this, that Jesus at the beginning of, I want to come to two main points, then we'll finish. But Jesus at the beginning of the scripture actually says this: if you put these words of mine into practice, or in the Message translation, if you work these words into your life, everyday life, and not just in Bible studies, that's quite pointed, isn't it? Very pointed. We need to apply these words into our everyday life. Then you will be like someone who builds their house, their life, on solid foundations, on a rock. Which words? Well, quite simple. The words is just said in the Great Sermon. It's all there, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Read it for yourself again and again and again and again. It's all there. The words of life. The words of the beautiful life. And then this is what happens. There's a principle and then there's a practice. Every time you read the scriptures, you'll find a principle, a godly principle, and then godly practice. So what is the principle here? Well, the principle is quite simple. And I've said this so many times over the years, that as disciples of Jesus, we are called to live a life of purity, simplicity, and accountability. In other words, purity. What we say, what we think, what we see, the things we're listening to, the things we're watching, the things we're saying. We need to live a life that is pure and acceptable to God. And there are some things we need to stop and some things we need to start doing. That is the call on our life. Secondly, we need to live a life that is simple. And we don't buy into this consumer mentality that's all about consumption. It isn't. Of course, it's okay to have things. I like things. But we don't have more and more things. We're not desperate to get it off now so Amazon can deliver it before 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. We need to be aware of the kind of lifestyle we're living. And I think these past weeks in lockdown have shown us that we can live a simpler lifestyle. Do you remember the roads with no cars on? Wow, it was like a new life, wasn't it? Back to normal, normal now. So a simple lifestyle and then an accountable lifestyle. You see, the argument that I'll do what I want to do, if it doesn't affect you, it's nothing to do with you, it actually doesn't work like that. We are accountable to each other, particularly as Christians on the Christian walk, on the life of a disciple, on the journey of life together. We need to be accountable. And actually, I think people love this sense of accountability when they see Christians doing this. So a lifestyle that is pure, simple, and accountable. That's the principle in the Great Sermon and all the New Testament teaching. And then a practice that you'll see here. Three things that'll appear on the screen. Firstly, listen to God. Well, that's obvious, Mick. You're a vicar. You're always saying that. It is, but here are two very, very practical ways: Sunday worship and podcasts here at SDC. Thank you for sticking with Sunday worship. It's not easy on the screen, is it? It was novel to begin with, but it's not easy at all. But stay with it, if you would. Don't kind of think, the sun's shining, we'll go out and I'll watch the 10:30 at some time later in the day, because I can do now, just go on Facebook. There's something about being together at that time in our homes together. See that little number on the screen going up? You know, we need to get it to 130, 140, 150, 160, 170, knowing there's this great community, our church family, all together. And it honours the people then who've led the worship, who've prepared their sermons, who are giving their testimonies and leading the prayers. It honours our team and it honours their work, but it also honours God to be together. And not just sitting there in our gym jams having a cup of coffee, but actually engaging in the worship. So please, thank you if you're staying with it. Let's get more of us staying with it. And secondly, the podcast, the jewel in the crown at SDC. It's a great way of getting the Bible into your life, worship and prayer into your life. We need more people engaging with that. There's still way more people in our church family. Go on to the, that could engage with it. Go on to the website. There's all kinds of ways you can get it into your daily life to hear the ping of your inbox, and it comes in every morning. I'm doing it next week. I hope lots more people are going to listen to it next week. Let's start focusing on that. The team worked really hard on that. And it's great to listen to great people like Rick Warren in the States and John Tyson and Alan Hirsch and John Mark Comer and Carrie Newhoff, all these great, amazing teachers. But they don't live in Sheffield. Our team do. They know our context. It's so personal. It's amazing. So listen to God. Secondly, listen to others. When I first became a Christian, the great Anglican evangelist David Watson, I read all his stuff, and he said this, he said lots of things. If you want to know how to be guided by God, yes, read the Bible and pray, but seek the counsel of wise, godly friends. And that's what I've done over the years. I've asked people, I've listened to what they've said, wise people, and I've changed what I live my life in accordance. I've weighed up what they've said, of course, but and they've helped me so much. And in the same way, in ministry, I've seen how people have done ministry, and I've asked them questions, and I've learned from them, listen. It takes great humility to do that. Over the years, I've worked with lots of church leaders, and everybody loves the idea of mentoring and counselling. Mentoring and coaching. Until you actually have to, well, counselling as well, but until you have to do the coaching, because coaching means changing the way you do things. And most great athletes and sports people who really really get and fulfill their potential have listened to their coach. They may have hated their coach sometimes early in the morning when they have to get up and they've trained and they've had to change their technique, but they've listened and they've achieved their potential. Others who don't will always run a good race, but they'll never fulfill their potential. That's what I've seen over the years. It takes humility. I've learned from so many people over the years, and I'm so grateful for their input. So listen to others. Finally, listen to yourself. What does that mean? It means that inner voice. Sometimes the inner voice says, oh, I'm drifting away. I've missed Sunday church. I'm not doing the midweek community. I'm not even listening to the podcast now. And that inner voice goes, get back on track. Tom talked about that last week. The choices we make, get back on track. But also, there's the inner voice that goes, actually, I'm feeling good. I'm engaging with the Lord. I'm listening to others. My life is built on the solid rock, which is Jesus. This is good. There's a stirring happening inside of me. I'm looking forward to every day, even though there's lots of challenges. That's the practice. That's the great sermon. Read it again, chapters 5, 6, and 7. I want to finish now with a word from, I think, one of the great prophets of our day. This is a guy called Guy Garvey, who's the lead singer in a band called Elbow, a Manchester band. And I don't think he's a Christian, but these are fantastic words. Listen to this from his song Open Arms, 9 years ago with this. We have open arms for broken hearts, like yours, my boy, come home again. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Come home again. Wow. Is that not a mission call for the church? And is that not an anthem for this day, for this generation? That we're here ready to welcome anyone who comes. Come and join us for the better life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your great sermon, for your amazing teaching. And thank you that our lives are built on you, the solid rock, the sure foundation for our lives. And the lives of our family are built on the same solid rock. And thank you for this church, SDC Sheffield. It's an amazing, amazing church family. And that we are a church that's got open arms, ready to receive broken hearts. And when they come, they'll come into the arms of their loving Father, who will heal them and bless them and renew them. Lord, prepare us for the great revival that you want, not just in Sheffield, but in our nation. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Thanks for listening, church. Have a fantastic week. See you next Sunday.